I am a big believer that the best meetings end on the early side, so we're going to move quickly here. For those of you who have not met Vivek, he is our federal CIO, Vivek Kundra, and Anish Chopra, our federal CTO, Chief Technology Officer. What we're going to do here is I'm going to call on the DepSec, who moderated the session, who will say a few words and then introduce the CEO report back person. Let me start with the Deputy Secretary from the Department of Defense, Bill Lynn. Bill.
Thanks, Jeff. It's sort of a male version of The View here, isn't it?
The defense guy making jokes. What's going on?
We focused on managing large-scale transformation and IT development. Jeff, keeping us all very prepared, gave me a list of, I don't know, maybe 20 of written comments that the CEOs had made in order to provoke discussion. I got halfway through the first one, and that we had then went into a 75-minute discussion, and I never got to the second one. So it was a very lively discussion, and I'd like to turn it over to Andrea Jung to describe the results.
Hi, everybody. We had a robust and I think very productive discussion in our group, and I think there was sort of a mutual understanding of the complexity, certainly of large-scale process as well as technology transformations, whether it's the public or the private sector. And I think we certainly, business leaders, got a better understanding of exactly why and how it has been so difficult to take this on. So hopefully we were able to kind of give some lessons learned and some advice. But I think just sort of three thoughts to sum up our group, and then we can keep going. One is when we sort of rank ordered what was most important, I think the group all fundamentally on both sides really did feel that this whole organizational mandate for change was at the top of the list. And in that thought, obviously, that it is all about process change, that technology is an enabler, but it isn't about technology transformation. It's about, in our case, in business, is business transformation, and that technology only being the tool. That from a leadership point of view, it really took, and for many of us, I think, the business leadership having the mandate and the sponsorship, not the IT or the CIO being the leader in order to guarantee success and sustainability. So that was one of the things that we had talked about. I think other thoughts were really framing the vision, that leadership, that process leadership, had to frame the vision, be very clear, and go all the way out to the consumer. And again, are different, but every department has customers, whether in government or in business, and what is the end game for the customer working backwards. Probably the best example we had in our group was Klaus at Alcoa talking about getting an astronaut in actually to talk about the expectations, the customer expectations of materials and experience and quality from when the minute they get inside that spaceship, as opposed to trying to design it without understanding that end user. So again, sort of headline on the thought was, you've got to re-engineer the process and really go customer end in before you start applying technology. So that was the first thought. Second was, since we had a lot of good dialogue about private sector and public sector differences as it relates to, you know, governments don't have the P&L, they don't necessarily have the compensation incentive systems to drive people to go through such long and lengthy change. How do you kind of drive that change differentially government-wise in terms of different kinds of incentives, perhaps motivation, recognition, how is that done? So we had a lot of discussion about how we felt that it could be done. You know, again, in leadership focus, every time a leader gets up and talks about it, staff meeting or otherwise, I mean, it has to be just front and center in order to drive change and transformation. I think the element of pride and staff engagement from the bottom up, even though this has got to be mandated and led and believed in by the leaders, this engagement is really important, and we are sure that that has got to be true of agencies and staffs here at government. In my case, we had given an example of, we really wanted to go paperless. So we have, you know, millions of sales representatives, independents, who have been doing an invoice, a paper invoice, and used to a paper invoice, and of course it could save a tremendous amount of money and improve accuracy, but they were used to it. And the compelling way that we moved them was not economic, it really was to understand the green aspect of this, what they were contributing as citizens if they were in fact going to lose this piece of paper that they had been used to for years and years, in some cases, you know, 50 years people were using this. So the examples were given that it doesn't always have to be economic, that there can be a pride factor, an engagement factor that can move a project of that kind of scale. And thirdly, just given the vast amount of time, I mean, I think we can't underestimate the time any of, if you're going to put the words large scale in front of the word transformation, it's not usually a one-year thing. And that process and systems changes can take multiple years, and how to do that, particularly in government, when the continuity of leadership, the continuity of staff is an issue. So we talked about how do you chunk it down? I mean, is there a possibility, and some advice that we were able to kind of give some of the folks in the room about taking a large-scale project but putting shorter time frames on it, you know, year phases, so that there could be early wins. I think early success and quick wins is very important. And then we talked about the thought of phase as opposed to pilot and test. A lot of good dialogue around the fact that from experience both sides, pilots, tests, sort of that too will never get to my theater here. You know, this too shall pass and won't come to my department. That the concept, in our case, actually, we've had to eliminate the words pilot and test because it, by definition, meant it wasn't going to scale out and roll out, or there could be some cynicism against that. So the thought that you can have small wins, early wins on a longer term project if you use the phasing thought to make sure that you can, in fact, deliver a longer term thought with shorter term time frame.
Okay. Thank you. You covered a lot of terrain. The second group on streamlining government operations was led by Scott Gould, who's the Deputy Secretary at the Veterans Administration. Scott.
Grab the microphone and help Jeff achieve his performance measure outcome of getting us out here a little bit earlier. A lot of interest in our group, tremendous diversity of opinion and background, a lot of rapid distillation of some of the core ideas here. I want to share with you one thing that I saw today, and that is citizenship is alive and well at the CEO level in America. And I thank you for all of your effort to be here today and the ideas that you generated. It's my pleasure now to introduce Jeff Fettig, Chairman and CEO of Whirlpool.
Thank you, Scott. Well, I'll try not to repeat. We had a lot of the similar comments that you heard earlier, but I would just make two simple statements. One, the color and diversity of ideas was pretty amazing and pretty powerful to generate support and encouragement around what's trying to do. The other upfront thing I think that was really eye-opening for several of most of us probably is the differences in private sector organizations and obviously the government, different department and agencies. But that wasn't a negative. I think the conclusion was that we need to recognize the differences and the how of what you do to get there may be different, but it doesn't change the course and the opportunity that we have before us. So when we really started talking about streamlining our operations, we concluded early on that we probably had not defined the problem correctly and what we're trying to achieve. This is, in fact, not a technology problem. You know, as I think, and I think many of the members shared their personal experiences, transaction activities, process outcomes, things about customer service levels, things about cost, things about time, those are well-known sciences. They're done all the time. They're how most of us stay in business every day, and I think in the business, the private business sector, those tools and capabilities are readily available and can be applied to any organization, private, governmental, service, and so on. So we kind of move very quickly off of it's not a technology issue or a process issue. And there's a lot of different ways that we got to, let's say, a circle, an area that we think that perhaps is the beginning of getting at the issue is how do we define the problem and the challenges. There are many symptoms, but the challenge is probably something like how do we get it at an enterprise management system for a very large government organization that's very distinct and different. And you know that's to me an organizational issue. Many people with startup companies or changing big companies, we have to do that. But it's very small compared to the challenge of the size and scope and diversity of our government. So defining what that challenge or opportunity and how we're going to change I think became a core issue. The other one I would say is that there was very large agreement that the opportunity is very large. There were ideas, people shared ideas of step change. We talked about, you know, a 3-year patent, one about 1 week. We talked about 3% budget efficiency. And others talked about getting 20% or 40%. So generally, the burning platform, the crisis, the mandate for change, that's a critical part of making this happen. So not to repeat all the things that were said earlier, but I would say that we kind of ended up on 3 or 4 points. One, the need for a really bold, inspirational vision driven, and I think we saw it today with our president in terms of getting a commitment to having the most efficient, effective government in the world. Defining the problem, going out and bringing in the right tools from wherever we need to get them to help execute this. But we need to be able to do it in a government enterprise management system that's effective to go execute. And then really get started. And then with that, what is the governance process to help this over a 1-year period, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? And so it was really in our mind more of getting at the organizational accountability and deployment, because we think the tools are available today to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's transition to transforming the customer experience. Tony Miller, who's the DepSec at the Department of Education. Tony.
Thank you, Jeff. Again, like I think all that we've heard from a very engaging discussion, I think it started with clear consensus, which was it's all about the customer. That's how it started. And I think it was a recognition that while government clearly has many unique characteristics, that the reality was that some of the first principles and some of the lessons learned are applicable nonetheless. And so that was kind of the key takeaway. So not to dwell on that, let me turn it over to Angie Hicks from Angie's List.
Thank you. So when we talked in our group, it was all about the culture of customer service. And that is a culture that is in a company, it's in a department. It's not just something that's stated on the wall for people to see when they walk by. And you need to know your customers. It's not just the, you know, not just the citizens that are out there engaging with your department. Some of the people in your department are customers to your department. So everybody has to be thinking about customer service in their job. It's not just those that are outward facing. And then culture is critical. And you know, it can't just be stated. It has to be incorporated in everything you do. And you've got to set goals and you need to measure against them. And it has to be led by example. It can't be a department head that says, we need to think about customer service. They need to be thinking about customer service. And there were unique ways that our group talked about it. You know, one person in our group, he takes calls from customers. If customers call and ask for him, he'll take the call. And it's a great way for him to see, you know, things that and uncover things in his organization that might need to be improved. Also, you know, reading blogs. I mean, you know, the great thing about technology today, you can be out there reading a lot about your organization or your department, way easier than we could 10 years ago. And then, you know, collecting customer feedback. So we need to have tools in place that we can collect customer feedback and do something with it and make it transparent. It shouldn't just be held over here and we look, oh, we're 90%. That's great, but. Unearthing problems, because those are opportunities, because I think sometimes the best customer service is shown in a problem area, not necessarily when you did things right the first time. And then also be transparent about that customer service information. Share it internally. We talked a lot about creating incentives for employees, whether it be, you know, the praise or ways of ranking and kind of how we're improving and reaching our customer service goals. And then benchmark, and we talked about, well, the government's a monopoly. We don't have competitors to benchmark against when it comes to customer service, but we certainly have other departments. There's no reason that the Department of Education can't benchmark against the Department of Agriculture on how they're doing when it comes to customer service. And then thinking about ways to incorporate technology. And you know, we agreed, as at Andrea, that technology is a tool for helping us think about the customer. Thank you.
Thank you. Second group on transforming the customer experience, David Hayes, who's the Deputy Secretary at the Department of Interior. David?
We had a terrific discussion. The most important thing I'm going to take home to my dinner table is I've got some cred now with my teenagers because I had the founders of Facebook and Craigslist in our group. So thank you for that. I hope all of you have a little something to share with your families from today's experience. We had a terrific discussion. I want to get right to Gary Kelly, the CEO of Southwest Airlines, who's going to give the results of our discussion.
Thank you, David. Thank you all. We're also going to start with the culture of customer service. Just having that established, we agreed was at the top of our list, and I won't repeat everything that you said, but we completely agree with that approach. We felt like it started with employees, hiring the right employees, giving them the proper support, making sure that we listen to them and help them obviously meet their needs, and then collect a tremendous amount of feedback from all sources from customers as to what their needs are. As a component of having a real commitment to a culture of customer service, we discussed the need to have a strategy that would then include the need to consider transformation in terms of processes, and then also have a way to embed technological change in that strategy and not have them disconnected. The second point that we talked about was just the opportunity for government to embrace self-service in the way that the private sector has. I think there is a tremendous opportunity. We thought there was a tremendous opportunity in that regard. I think to make that successful, that suggests that, once again, there needs to be a very clear strategy. We need to do as best we can to take the hassle factor out of dealing with the government, simplify things, but that would be a tremendous productivity and customer service enhancement if we could pull that off.
Thank you. Last group is on maximizing the return on investment on technology, led by Jack Liu, who's the Deputy Secretary of the Department of State. Jack?
Thanks, Jeff. Our group, I think, had an extraordinary amount of engagement, and much as Scott was thanking the group that he was with for their commitment and citizenship, I was very struck by the respect for the complexity of government and the goodwill of the people, both at the top and in our agencies, to try and do the right thing. Having been in the government business for a long time, it's not always you sit around a table with people who start out with the notion that they're good people trying to do the right thing. And I appreciated that. What I was struck by, and what I think will very much go back with me to the State Department, was the almost uniform advice that we were given to not think about the core, that it's just too big to take on the whole thing, that we have to think about breaking it down into things that we can get done and where we can get victories out there. I think many of us are driven to try to do more, and it may be that what we have to think about is what can we actually get done, which I thought was a very important lesson to take back. I'm delighted to call on Dan Fulton, who will report back in detail on our group. And
thanks, you've already done half the report for me. I was selected to make the presentation because I'm the least tech savvy member of our group. We had some really high-powered professionals in the group. Just a real quick summary of our conclusions. Number one, in engaging in a project, start with a clear purpose that is absolutely aligned with the needs of the end user. Second, that strategy is the key to all of this, and IT is simply a tool of executing that strategy. Third, as Jack mentioned, there was a surprising consensus around breaking big projects into smaller, bite-sized chunks. And a lot of coalescence around 18 months, surprisingly, which was the number of months that my chief investment officer, or chief technology officer, suggested to me in thinking about this meeting. But we heard that around the table, 18 months. So you can take on a project, get through it, make it bite-sized, learn your lessons, and celebrate success. That was another, common theme. Celebrate some smaller successes, build some momentum, The other idea about breaking them down into 18-month chunks is that you can get alignment of ownership of the project for that period of time without concern about turnover of leadership. In my own company's examples, there were similarities with those offered by the other participants in the group. Get aligned around your business process before you undertake the IT implementation. The IT professionals in the group really stressed, as much as possible, sticking with simple off-the-shelf software, that customization is really a dangerous path to go down. And then finally, just to comment again about the participants in our group, broad consensus, surprisingly, around breaking it down into these smaller chunks, and also, I would say, a lot of respect for the complexity of the challenge that our government administrators have as they deal, you know, not just within their own departments, but trying to deal with systems that cross over a variety of departments. And so we appreciate the challenge that you've got, and I think to a person, everybody in our group is willing to continue to be available to you to consult and provide feedback and input as much as you would like. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, 18 must be the magic number today, in that I counted 18 ideas across the five groups. If you add that to what we saw in the homework and the breakout groups, I think we have close to 100 ideas. But I think all of us would agree that in business, the ideas are just the beginning, and it's really all about execution. All of you are here because your companies execute so well, and I think that's our challenge here in government, too. It's execution. So the ideas are fabulous, and they get us off to a fast start. But Anish, Vivek, every DepSec in the room, every CIO in the room is committed to execution, to implementation, to getting real tangible results for the American people, and we need your continued help on that. I see not 18 next steps, but four immediate next steps. First, we're going to take the best ideas from the homework, the best ideas from the breakouts from today, and get them online so we can broaden our audience to other private sector leaders and to the public and expand that list of ideas and refine the ideas so we can really hone in on the best, most applicable ones. Second, an implementation plan. Within 30 days, we'll get out to all of you and also get online an implementation plan where we have clear milestones, accountability and ownership, and highlight what we think our key challenges are going to be to get these ideas implemented. Third, and you just mentioned it, is implementation assistance. We're going to need help. And by mapping out those key challenges and asking all of you and others to map your or match your interests and your expertise to where we have challenges, we can create informal networks where DepSecs can pick up the phone, hopefully, and talk to you as CEOs and CIOs can call into your organization to get ongoing counsel and advice. And then lastly, I would hope that by the end of next week, each of you would take a call from one of the DepSecs in your group to do a debrief. What did we miss? What did you think about over the weekend? What should we be doing on implementation? So I really appreciate what you've done to date, and I hope you're willing to continue to work with us as we really drive toward results and have a tangible impact on the effectiveness and efficiency of our government services. It's now my pleasure to introduce one of the president's closest friends and closest advisors, and she is the senior point person for the administration to the business community, senior advisor to the president, Valerie Jarrett.
My guys from The View are leaving now that a woman comes up here. I don't know about that. Thank you for that introduction. But most importantly, thanks to all of you for being here today. We know how challenging your lives are, particularly in this economic climate. And for you to give up your a big part of your day and come and join us here in the White House, we just deeply appreciate. I also want to thank our team who put together today's event. A lot of planning, as you could imagine, went into it, and we really appreciate your willingness, in addition to everything else you're doing, to make sure that this day went off as flawlessly as I think it did. I had a chance to observe a couple of the breakout groups, and I'm not going to repeat what I observed because I think it was captured by the reports, But one of the observations that I would share with you that I have picked up over however many years I've been in business, both working in the private and the public sector, is that tone really starts at the top. And the reason why it was so important for the president to be here with you, and you can imagine what his day has been like with everything going on with Haiti and healthcare and just the normal demands of being the president, is that he wanted to signal to you how much he values your input. We really do want to make our government better. We want to make it efficient. We want to make sure that we can capture the best practices that you guys have mastered each and every day, and we want to listen and we want to incorporate it, and we want to make sure that your time spent both today and when we follow up, because one of the things is once you're in our clutches, we never let you go. You are going to be we're not going to be excessive, but we do want to know that execution is going to be important, and in order to do that in the most effective way, it's going to require us to have an ongoing relationship with many of you. And so we thank you in advance for the support that we know that we're going to get from you, and we appreciate deeply your commitment, not to the administration, but to our country, because we really believe that this government is here to serve you, and we want to make sure that it is the best that it can be. During the course of the campaign, we met so many extraordinary people around the country, many of who joined the administration. And one of the observations that the president shared early on is that we're never going to be able to keep these extraordinarily talented people if we don't really change what it means to work in government. And that's from the bottom up, and we have to listen to the people who are out there every day working in the trenches, who have terrific ideas, and we have to listen to the private sector who has mastered the same challenges that we're facing each and every day. So we want this to be a partnership with you. It is a part of our ongoing effort to include the business community, and whether it's Council on the Economy or healthcare or energy reform or public education or social innovation, we want to have a partnership with you, and we want it to be an engagement and a two-way street, and so we really count on you for that. In closing, what I'd like to say is several of you in the course of the day have asked for information if you want to help with the relief effort going on in Haiti. And we appreciate that offer of generosity. Many of you have done this before when there have been other catastrophes around the world, and so you know exactly what you're doing. But for those of you who would like to coordinate with us in the White House, this is something that the President is absolutely committed to doing efficiently and effectively as possible, and leveraging all of the possible resources, not just from business, but from everyday Americans who want to volunteer and help. But we want to do it in an efficient and an effective way. We don't want to get in the way of what right now is a very critical effort to try to save lives, particularly in the next 24 to 48 hours. So one of two things: either you can go on our website, whitehouse.gov, and we'll be putting up information on ways that you can be helpful. The Business Roundtable, I know, is plugged in, and they're working with us to be helpful. Or you can call me. And I think all of you received a letter from me on the email to invite you here today, so feel free to send an email to either to myself or to Greg, who was also on that same email address. And we appreciate your concern and your help in that as well. So please, once again, accept our appreciation for being here today. Safe travels home, and you're going to be hearing from us. Thank you.